We're live. Welcome to Voices from the Dark, everybody. Happy New Year. Today is, well, what's today?
16th.
The 16th.
The 16th.
I think it's the 16th.
January.
Yeah, January. 16th January. Of January. Mm. I just want to say again, Happy New Year. I'm very excited to be, to have arrived at this point with the Voices from the Dark podcast. I have plans to continue to doing this until I die. So, which hopefully is not anytime soon. Happy New Year. This is the first episode of the new year. I have some episodes from 2018 that are going to be coming out now before this episode will come out. But technically they're part of 2018's, lineup and everything. So anyway, before I ramble on too much, just want to say this is a special episode first, not only because it's the first of the new year, 2019. It's also the first international episode that I've done. I am sitting in an art workshop, a painting workshop, in a city called Viedma.
It's a town.
Well, it's a city. I don't know.
A small city.
Yeah, it's a small city. When I first got here, I definitely thought of it as a town, and I made jokes about it being like a dusty little town. But now, for sure, I feel like it, especially after what now I've been coming here for since 2011, so what is that? Almost 8 years. Yeah, eight years.
2011.
And now it's 2019, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so.
7 years.
Yeah, yeah, and so. Yeah, it's grown. It's grown a little bit, doing a lot of different things here. A lot of art, a lot of craft, artisanal things, craft beer. Well, this isn't.
Yes.
We're not drinking craft beer at the moment, but we're,
This is an industrial beer, but it's from Argentina.
Yeah, it's Imperial.
Imperial.
One of the most, I think it's one of the best of the industrial beers.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's almost like craft.
Yeah.
Yes, craft.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely is. It's better than Budweiser.
See, yes.
Or Quilmes.
No.
Definitely better than Quilmes. So you're gonna hear a lot of stuff that talk. Maybe as we talk more about my. Well, that was my guest, by the way, and I'll let him introduce himself in a moment. But you'll be hearing a lot about the town and a lot about Argentina probably in this episode, since we're here and. Mm. My guest is from Argentina, from this town. And so that's one of the reasons why it's special. And then also we might be having a little bit of, excuse me, my throat is a little hoarse. Even this will get into the episode. I won't even cut that out.
Okay.
Yeah. It's totally natural, totally live. That's what we do on Voices from
totally
the Dark.
Raw? No.
Raw, yeah, raw, exactly.
Savage.
Yeah, savage. Yeah, savage, wild. Yeah.
Savage
French? Is like a person is a savage, but wild and savage, it's the same.
Wild.
Yeah, but wild is a little bit better.
Rowan.
And so, you might also be hearing some Spanish. Mm-hmm. Me, especially destroying the Spanish language,
and me destroying the English.
No, well, we can destroy all the languages if we want. That's. That's what you'll be. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't know. I have to take another sip of beer. So, I think I've covered everything that's like sort of special about this episode. Another special thing is that my guest is my friend, Nako.
Are
and
you sure?
I hope so. So we are in Argentina, in Viedma, and this is Voices from the Dark. It's the artist series. It's episode number 30, and it's artists number. Oh my God, I always do this. Artists number 18. Let's see if I got that right. I believe I got that right. Mm-hmm. Artist number 18. Nako, you're the 18th artist. And actually, before I go on, I should say, normally I explain to the guests what this show, like the artist series, how it works. Basically, I ask very simple questions. Mm-hmm. It's the five or six like journalistic questions: who, what, when, where, why, how. It's pretty basic, but I think that those basic questions leave the guest to be able to say whatever they want, yeah, express themselves. Yeah. And so I usually start with who. So the who is you.
Who I am.
Yeah. Who are you?
My name is Juan Ignacio Fichetti, but I have a nickname called Naco. I'm just me, as Freddy say. I'm an artist and a drawer.
A painter. Or drawer, drawer.
I'm basically a drawer, and I paint. And I make everything about visual art with pencils and brushes. And I make a lot of caricatures.
Yep.
The faces and people, and but I like everything. I make everything, but the highest quantity is people, and
I think I would say celebrities.
Celebrities, because I like too much the music. Rock and roll, rock and in general. Sports. I like sports too.
Right behind us is a large. Well, how big is that? It's quite large.
This is in centimeter, because I don't know in.
No, centimeters is fine. Most people listening to this are centimeter.
100 per 150 centimeters.
So 150.
Yes, 150. Ancho? Yes, the wide and the high is 1 meter.
No. 1 meter, 100, 100 centimeters, yes.
It's I don't know how.
So 150 by 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty big. That's like, for the people who don't know centimeters and all that, it's like, I'm going to ballpark it at like 4 feet by 3 feet. So four feet wide. It's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's of Freddie Mercury. It's a caricature of him in a yellow blazer.
Yes, the famous yellow from the Magic Tour.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a fan of a British rock from United Kingdom. Everything about rock from United States too, but the British rock, I don't know. It has something special for me.
Mm.
I'm a fan of Queen and everyone. The Beatles, Pink Floyd, Genesis, everything.
Mm.
But so I paint them because I like to paint them. I don't know why, but it's like, I don't know, homenaje?
An homage.
Homage?
It's to honor them. It's like to represent them in your...
Yes, and I like the instrument to make in different poses or movements. And I like faces and I don't know the lights and contrasts.
Okay, so that's actually going a little bit ahead of that's what you do, right? And so that's usually the second part. So let's go a little bit back and say a little bit more about who you are. So you're from you're from Viedma?
I'm from Viedma. Well, I was born in Buenos Aires, but I was living for a month because my parents
in
the capital. My parents came to Viedma when I was 1 month. Mm. So I'm from Viedma. I always draw. I don't remember when I start to draw.
Okay.
But when I was I grew up,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 20, 21 years. Later, a little one later, I took a workshop, a caricature workshop, especially in Buenos Aires, and I passed. I had passion.
Yeah, you felt.
I felt the passion for the caricature and for draw people. When I was in school, I draw teachers and maybe some friends. When I was child, I designed my own cars.
Because your
I designed the cars because I
like cards of like holiday cards?
No, cars, automobiles.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Wow.
I draw cars.
Okay.
I invent them.
Mm.
And I draw some cars that I like.
And when? And what age was that?
Eight. 10.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there. I don't remember very well the dates.
Yeah, the sequence.
The sequence. I don't remember drawing, but I see photos when I was China. I was drawing and painting. I don't remember. I was always drawing in school. My teacher from the first
The first grade.
The first grade from then to the high school. Mm-hmm. Always drawing. They remember. They told me you always were drawing. I don't remember. I don't know. It's like because I don't talk. I don't scream. So it's my expression, I guess.
Mm.
If I didn't do that, I explode, I guess.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
Well, then I went to Buenos Aires to study. I went to Buenos Aires to study design.
Mm-hmm.
Industrial design.
I was going to ask you.
Industrial design because I wanted to design cars.
Mm. Oh, okay.
But I failed.
What do you mean you failed? Like
I was with so many problems, personal problems. Very young. I don't know. I didn't catch the. This career, I didn't feel comfort, so I leave it. And then I made this caricature workshop, and then I studied arts, visual arts.
Okay.
So this gave me some tools, and I study history arts. So I met some great artists by books, no?
Yeah.
The famous and all the art history. So I was more and more involved in this.
Mm.
And then I start to teach my own workshop, my atelier. So I don't know. Maybe 16, 15 years doing this.
Ah, 16 years.
Teaching working as a freelance. And yes, a freelance.
Mm.
And working for me, making my own drawing and painting. And maybe some people buy them. I make commissions.
Mm.
So I can live. I can live with all this.
So the commissions, that probably doesn't translate very well.
Commissions,
I guess you can say commissions, yeah, but I think there's another word for it. I can't even remember it myself.
Yes, but I saw it.
If somebody asks you
to do for something, work.
Yeah, and then they commission a painting. Yeah.
Yes, commission I guess a painting and drawing and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it's commission. It's because commission, I follow people that work with this, and they say commission.
Okay. Yeah, it's like something maybe specific to the art world. But in any case, it means that you're getting somebody asks you to create something, and then you create it for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a request to paint or to draw.
A request, yes. Maybe, it's my my father's birthday. I want to draw him.
Mm.
I want you to draw him. So I make this. It's normal like this.
Okay. So I think that pretty much covers who you are. And you covered also a lot of like the timeline, because I go into a little bit of, because to me, like the sequence of like how you became an artist is very important. So you mentioned a lot of that. And you also mentioned what you do. So, but maybe we can say more about what you do right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you are Nako, and you're a caricature artist and a painter. And and you said that you do a lot of musical, rock and roll, British rock related paintings. But there's something else that we're not talking about right here. We're sitting in your workshop. So tell us about that. Like, I know workshop. About it. I know about it. But
yes, my workshop. This is a place, a space in my city that I teach. We share. We share because I teach, but I learn from all the people that come here and to learn too. And we share. We make everything. Each people. I have a lot of kind of people, different ages, from 7, 8 year to eternity. everyone who wants to learn some drawing techniques, and paint and everything. I have this space when people come and I teach what they want. If I am useful for them, it's better. You can start when you want, you can leave when you want. So I have people they are coming from 6 years, others come 1 month and never more. I work here too when I had to paint. I enter here and work here.
How long have you been in this workshop?
In this workshop, in this special place, in this corner from 2 Street, I am here. This is the sixth year.
Sixth year, wow.
I don't remember. Wow. I can't believe it. I guess this is the sixth year.
Wow.
I start in a month. I will start in a month, so I guess it's the sixth.
Wow.
Five or six. Six, I guess.
And before here, you were in Buenos Aires doing workshops.
Yes. No, I was in Buenos Aires, but when I always on holidays, I was coming to Vietnam, and I was making workshop. How do you say? When it's short. An intensity.
Intensive
workshop. From
here in Viedma.
Here in Viedma. And when I said it too, in my home, I was teaching. And in another place too.
Oh, really?
Yes, now I don't remember.
No, yeah, that's
I was working in Buenos Aires in parties, in weddings, and
drawing. I know about that.
Yeah, yes, you know, I was making these wedding parties how do you say? I don't remember. Well, in 15 years, when the girls had the 15 years.
Quinceañera.
Quinceañera.
Yeah, there's no word for that in English. You just say quinceañera.
Quinceañera. And enterprise business and... How do you say?
Oh, like
eventos empresariales.
Yeah. So like, yeah. It's like
an enterprise.
Work, yeah. It's like work parties or work work events.
Work events. Yeah. Yes.
It's like after work, sort of. Or
no.
It's like team building. So that the company wants
the company.
Their
yes.
They want their workers to like all do something together.
See. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's the word.
It's like incentives or something. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we were there with other drawers, and we make people alive live drawings.
Ah, yeah.
5 minutes, 8 minutes, you had to draw someone. So it was a good practice because you had to draw very fast, and it's a problem when it doesn't look like.
Yeah.
The one you are drawing, well, it's okay.
Yeah,
I was doing that in Buenos Aires.
Okay, and so basically, so that's okay. I think we have a good idea of what you do. Basically, it's painting and caricatures, and you do it now here. Basically, you do it
a workshop
mostly here in the workshop
teaching,
doing your own work, doing commissions. I guess then the next sort of section of the podcast is like, so the timeline, like when did, I know you said that you don't remember like exactly how the sequence was, or like what came first and second, whatever. But is there something in your mind that you remember as being as the first kind of moment in your life where you were like, I'm an artist, I want to, mm-hmm. and it doesn't necessarily have to be that word, you know, like artista or mm-hmm. artist, you know, but like the first moment that you knew that like the image was,
it's,
you know,
going by this way.
Yeah, that's what you,
yes,
your mind was, you wanted mm-hmm. to make your life this, or just your first time that you look back, when you look back, like what was the first thing you did that you can think of that was like artistic?
Maybe, I don't know if artistic, but I know that this workshop in 2001, the first time I took this workshop of caricatura mm. in Buenos Aires, I felt something special. Mm. I felt, oh, this is something. Mm. I felt my draw, my way of draw, it has sense. Mm.
It makes sense.
So I start there. I start something special with this, mm. and then maybe the time that I felt the I am this, and I did I will dedicate all my time with this. Yeah. Or maybe 2003 or mm. when I start visual arts. I felt this.
When you first started the course of visual
the
arts.
Course in of visual arts in yeah. university.
Yeah.
Yes.
And which university? Just
the university called UNA.
University of.
UNA is Instituto Universitario Nacional del Arte.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the National University of the Arts.
Of arts. Yes. Yeah. Of visual arts.
UNA. Yeah. UNA.
Now it's UNA.
Now it's UNA.
Now it's UNA.
Before it was
UNA. Instituto.
UNA. Yeah. Yes. Now it's UNA.
Now it's UNA. Now it's Universidad Nacional del Arte.
Okay. It's more simple.
Yes, simple. It was changing, okay. changing. You know, it was a mess.
Chaos. Well, everything. That's like Argentina.
Yeah. Argentina and arts.
Yeah.
A chaos.
And we'll get to the where in a minute.
What?
The where, the donde.
Sí.
Because it's you know, quién, qué,
dónde,
what is it, who, what, when, cuándo, who, what, when, where, well, yeah, sí, quién, qué,
cómo,
dónde, no, well, cómo, cuando. Is the last one. The cómo is actually the most important thing.
Oh,
it's like the big, it's like the big thing about this how. Artist series. Yeah, the how, yeah. So it's who, what, when. Where, so we're doing the when right now, the cuando, yeah, mm-hmm. and so
another I
so
guess,
like the so timeline, like
mm-hmm. I guess we can say 2003 okay. or 2004.
I think that's very interesting because that's sort of like later, like as an adult, that's when yes. you're like, you know, 20 something years.
I was in 2001 when I started this workshop. I was 24, mm. 25. So in visual arts, I was 27, mm. 27.
Yeah, that's interesting because a lot of the guests on the artist series that I do, so now it's the 18, actually, this is the 18th episode, but I had a double, so someone who came back, a repeat guest. So mm-hmm. technically, you're the 17th person who's been on this series.
Uh-huh.
But of all these people, these 17 people, a lot of them, I would say the majority, and I think this is normal. Everybody would think that this is normal. You have this impulse when you're a small child. And you did mention that when you were younger, you were always
yes,
drawing.
Yes, I always.
Yeah. But for you, the key moment mm-hmm. was not in those early years. It was in the later years
yes.
when you finally were like, I mean, actually, honestly, that happened with me as well. So mm-hmm. I feel a similarity between uh-huh. us. But in general, I think most people are looking at it as like, yeah, it was that time then when I was 8 years old yeah. or whatever, you know.
Maybe I didn't want to realize or to admit or
mm-hmm.
maybe because always happen to me this kind of I don't want to to give me the how can I say
say in Spanish
aceptarme accept
okay accept yeah you don't want to accept your
yes
who
I
you
always
are.
Escaping from me see.
Okay
but maybe it happened that but because I think about it 27 is too old. But well, I always was drawing, and I guess since I haven't my conscience.
Yeah, you don't remember.
I don't remember.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
So it was always I was drawing, and
yeah.
I guess I was always an artist, but I didn't want to accept this.
Yeah, yeah, I totally see that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I get that. That's very interesting. Yeah, like I said, yeah, it's you know these simple questions that I ask on the series Voices from the Dark, the artist series specifically, they seem very simple questions, but then
when you start to explain, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of the time, like. If you listen to other interviews, you hear people asking very specific questions, like, "Oh, in 2005, you created this film, and like, what did you feel about the film and that scene with the specific actor, and that you know that one line that they had to say, and then the person can just say something very because they set everything up, you know. But if you ask somebody like, you know, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a
who are you? Yeah.
it's
very difficult. Yes.
So moving along. Actually, let me check the time real quick. I think that we're coming up to the take a break. Usually, I do like 30 minutes, and then another 30 minutes. If that's okay with you, you know, do you have time to do another 30 minutes? Because to me, this is like
I'm free. Like I'm on holiday, on vacation.
Ah, okay, perfect. Because I can do this all day, and then also I try not to get too lost in the conversation because we could forget the time and then it goes 2 hours.
Maybe
you know?
2 hours and people get bored.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I have to edit it. No, I never want to do that. So, basically, we did the who, what, when. This is showing. Like I feel like right now I'm like, this is my first episode in 2 months.
Oh.
2 months. Yeah. So I'm like trying to get the feeling for it again. But they say it's like riding everything is like riding a bike. It's like you never forget how to ride the bike.
But the leg hurts and
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So who, what, when, where, who, what, when? I guess the where is what's next. And I really like this topic. Especially since we're in Viedma, right? Because now we can talk a little bit about Viedma and Patagonia, and your relationship to that. Because you know, and we can also talk about Buenos Aires. Oh, we can also talk about the world. It doesn't have to be Viedma because the relation. So the where is not just where we are right now. It's everywhere. And I think that when we come back from the break, when we come back from the break, we can start with that with the where.
Well.
Sound good?
We
can grab another beer from the fridge
and
continue. All right, cool.
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Ciao, ciao.
We are back. Thank you all for listening. This is the second half of episode number 30 of Voices from the Dark, artist series number 18. I'm sitting here with Nako, as we were before, in Viedma. I'm like mixing. I was going to say... Viedma, Argentina. I was gonna mixing the pronunciations. So there's my first butchering of the language. Viedma, Argentina. So, So we left off at the basically at the where question. So where are we? Where are you? Where have you been? Where are you going? That's the whole idea. It's basically your relationship to space and, you know, and so maybe that's not so clear, but I think for me, the reason why I ask this question in this way is because, you know, art or you know, creative endeavors, creative life is not always you can't always do it anywhere. I mean, you could, but it's sometimes easier in certain places and harder in others. So maybe if you can say something about that, like what your experience is in terms of your life as an artist.
Yes, I guess it's not conscient the where you are, but maybe the different places influence of the place, I guess it makes something in you, but it's not conscient for me. Okay. I don't know. Now I'm here for, I was thinking all the year, I'm here in Vietnam for a time, because I always wanted to, always want to be in another place, to experiment another place for living. But well, now I'm here, and when I was in Buenos Aires, it was different because I was studying in.
You were studying in school.
Yeah, in Buenos Aires I was studying, yeah. So it was different than living, making scenes for living. I was, I don't know, in another phase. Phase.
Yeah.
But now, I guess I had the opportunity to move and to make my own decisions, but I don't know. I'm here. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Maybe till the end, but I don't know. I want to experience another place, but for now I'm here in Vietnam, and I guess for me in particular, I don't know if the place is so much important, or I guess it's something more deeper from the person, from, how can I say, something personal. I have in my mind, I had to create, and but I don't know. It's a difficult question.
Yeah. So let me put it into a little bit of perspective. I think most people would say, or would think, looking at Argentina or any other country, you have the capital, Buenos Aires. And then you have, Viedma is also the capital of Rio Negro, the province. So it's also like quite big city, but it's still a small city.
No, it's a small city. Yeah.
And so people would assume that an artist would almost automatically go to Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
So, but you studied in Buenos Aires. You studied a little bit of industrial design, and then you decided to move over to the visual arts and do caricatures and art history, and then I guess you left. So I guess the question or a specific question would be, why did you leave Buenos Aires? Because I think most people would think, oh, yes, you should stay in Buenos Aires.
Yes,
you
know? I leave Buenos Aires because I get tired of the rhythm of the city and hours and hours spent in nothing, transport and going from here to there. When I was studying, I was traveling in the city from my home to the university, an hour and a half.
Oh my God. Where did you live in Buenos Aires?
In Palermo, but the university was in La Boca, so it's.
Oh, wow. And you took the bus?
Yes, taking the bus or subway and bus. But always a bus because it was direct. But depending the hours, the peak hours, or the
the peak. You mean the
when is the transit?
The rush hour.
Peak hours, the rush hour. Maybe took an hour and a half. So I never get used to. About this, and I ran off from Buenos Aires.
You ran away from it.
I ran away from Buenos Aires. I escaped from Buenos Aires because a little bit for this and a little bit for relationship and something about this.
Personal
yeah. issues. Personal relationship. And yeah.
That's for another podcast.
I want to live here. I want to live from here. So I came to Vietnam because I have my family, my parents, and as a refuge.
Refugio.
Refugio.
Yeah, it's like...
Shelter? No.
I think you mean like you came here to take refuge.
Refuge.
It's like to a place where you can be safe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And a place to be safe and... Yeah. Yeah, basically.
No, shelter? No.
What is that?
Shelter? No.
Shelter? No. Maybe that's German.
No.
Maybe you were hanging out with those guys in Strasbourg too much. No. You did. So actually... I want you to continue talking about that, about why you left Buenos Aires, but also you've traveled. You've been to different countries and different cities.
I was visiting as a tourist.
Yeah, but maybe there was also some artistic reasons that you...
It was a workshop. Oh, my first travel to Europe, to Germany in particular, it was a workshop with a famous or... The most famous for me, the caricaturist and artist of making people and portraits and caricatures, Sebastian Kruger from Germany, and I made a workshop with him. It was my first travel to Europe. I went alone. It was a scary moment. It was a scary moment, yeah, but I was happy. And my first city was Berlin. The workshop was where? The workshop where?
Where?
Yeah. The workshop were in another place.
Ah, where? Yeah.
Where the or was? No, the was the workshop was?
Was. Yeah.
The workshop was in another place near Hanover.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to Germany. I spent a week in Berlin before the workshop, and it was my first city, and I fell in love with Berlin.
This is interesting because this was before Nadia and I were in Berlin.
This is before I met you.
Yeah exactly.
It was before. It was 2009. 10 years.
Yeah, I didn't even meet Nadia at that point. I'd never even gone to Argentina.
Yeah, you didn't know
I came
her.
In 2010.
Oh.
And we met. So a little... Quick background, Nako, I know Nako through my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she did a workshop with you in Buenos Aires. Was it Buenos Aires?
Yeah. Si.
And they just happened to also be from the same town, city in the south in Patagonia. And it's quick background on that. Yeah.
Yes, and we knew each other, but not so much by name and family, but... I didn't know her very, very much. I mean.
Yeah.
So, in that time we made contact.
Yeah.
And with you and when you get married and everything. Mm. This workshop it was a special travel. I was fascinated with all these cities and places and this workshop in particular. So I could travel again two more times, and then I visit you and.
So you went to this workshop in Germany three times?
No, I went only one. I went to do it. This year, but I don't know.
This year, I
have a lot of, how do you say, ganas.
I really want to
make this workshop again. And it's going to be 10 years from the first that I took.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But then I travel as a tourist, visiting other places. I like all the places. I like Europe. I don't know. It has something special. I've never been to United States, but I want to know too.
No, it's interesting. I mean, it's huge. It's. Uh-huh. I've only. Yes. Yeah. I'm from there too. I'm from the States, but yeah, I've traveled more in Europe than I have in like, yeah, the East Coast. I mean, you know.
But I saw then. I don't know. I had like a dream or like an illusion to be in some parts of Europe and see what happened with what I do.
Oh, you mean like to live there?
To live there and try. What can I do? What can happen or what could happen?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have not the decision. Mm. I haven't got the decision.
Yeah, you haven't made a decision, or
I haven't made the decision, the real decision. But
you don't know what decision to make.
Mm. Yeah. It's a risk, but I don't know.
That's an interesting thing. You say it's a risk to go to Europe, but you made a decision to go from Buenos Aires to Biedma. Mm-hmm. Did you feel that was a risk at all, or? I mean, you have your family here, so it's much less of a risk.
It's different because I have some comfort that I don't know if I can have it in another place.
Yeah, that's true.
That's because I'm in Vietnam. Mm. I have work. I have I can work. I can, but I have the techo bajo. We have the roof very.
Yeah.
Down or
how yeah, do you so say the techo bajo, I guess you would say it's like it sounds more negative in English. Maybe I'm not sure if this is the right translation. Techo bajo sounds to me like it's like a lower standard. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't have to do as much to be successful here. But in let's say in London, you would have to, your techo would not be bajo. Your techo would, oh, by the way, techo is like roof and bajo means low. Mm-hmm. So your roof, the literal translation of that would be like a low roof. But it's like, to me, it sounds very negative in English.
Uh-huh. Why? In Spanish is negative too.
Okay.
It's not a good a good situation.
Because in London, for example, like your
in London
standard, you would have in London, yes. Uh-huh. It would have to be like your techo would be muy alto.
I don't know.
I think so, because it's like you have to achieve a lot. Mm-hmm. You have, because it's more difficult, you know, financially.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep.
But techo bajo means like.
I am talking about the possibilities of
Of work.
Of work and how do you say? To show your work and you as a person and in big cities like Buenos Aires, but you cannot. Being high, but it's the possibility is there.
Mm.
If you make a good work and you can go high. And here in Vietnam, I guess the highest point is where I am now.
Mm.
More than this, no.
Okay.
There's no, I guess.
No, actually, since I've been here in Vietnam, which is now about a month or so, I've met with Nako once, and you know, we were talking. We went for some beers at Otra Vez, which is a nice new bar on the Costanera, on the riverside drive, basically, of Biedma. And I shit you not, every 5 minutes or 10 minutes, there was somebody who knew you. Yeah, coming in and saying, "Hey, Nako."
We knew each other here. It's a small town.
And there was a couple of people that they knew who you were, and they were like, "Hey, Nako," and you were like, "I don't know who that guy was."
That's a problem. That's
so you're sort of famous.
I don't know.
I love that.
My friends told me, "You're famous." My family, "You're famous." No, I don't know what is this, but. My problem is I don't recognize people. Maybe I met them ten times, and I can remember some certain people. I don't know.
No, I mean it's it's a lot. Especially from what I understand, you have a lot of action here. It's like a lot of movement. You know,
I am a social person.
Yeah.
I guess I need the sociabilizar social interaction instead of my phobic manias.
fears.
It's a mix. I am contradictory. I live with contradiction.
Yeah.
But I am a social person. So maybe I know and I met a lot of people. So we know each other. Or I go to places and maybe I don't recognize them then, but they recognize me, so this is a problem.
Yeah.
a little problem. Honestly.
No, I think that most people would understand that you have your workshop, you meet like...
Yes, I'm exposed.
Exposed, exactly.
I make something that almost no one do in this town.
Well, I think no one does it.
There are drawers, painters.
No, but this workshop here is like the only.
It's the only workshop. In Patagones, there are a couple of workshops.
Patagones, this. I already explained before that there's going to be a lot of like terminology and like places and names and things that nobody will understand. Patagones is the sort of sister city or the twin city, sister city, I think, of Biedma, which is just on the other side of the river, the Rio Negro, the Black River. And it's actually in another province. It's in Buenos Aires province, which is the ultimate south of Buenos Aires province, which is the same province where the capital, Buenos Aires, is. And so Patagones, Carmen de Patagones is the name of the city over there. I would say it's similar to Biedma, but it's also different.
Yes, you know. It has another
onda, como different vibe.
Totally different vibe.
Yeah.
Different people. I like this because there are two small city or two towns together and totally different.
Mm-hmm.
This is nice for me.
They're like hermanos.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Siblings.
Yes. This is. For people to recognize, this is like Prague. Prague with the river, but Prague is the same city, or Budapest, Buda and Pest.
Yeah.
The river divides the city. Buda and Pest are two cities, different. But
I don't know exactly. I think they're one city, but then there's like.
But it's the same because
different. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
But here it's like that, but there are two different provinces, so there are. They are the cities are separate, but different laws, and different laws and reglas.
Rules. Yeah, different laws and rules, because they're different provinces. So you know.
See.
But where were we?
Totally
forgot where we were.
Where?
We were talking about the where.
Yes, and I'm sorry. I went to the.
No, that's cool. That's what we do on Voices from the Dark. It's always tangents. How do you say tangent? No.
Tangente.
Tangente, sí.
Sí.
It's like...
We went to the tangente.
Sí. And...
Irse por la tangente. When you talk about something and then you finish in another place talking about anything else.
We do this all the time, like in all the different series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like totally normal. But yeah, so the where... I think that's pretty good kind of overview of like the where, like, so you would like to travel more, see, experience different things. You have done different things outside of Argentina. There's this whole Buenos Aires, and your hometown Buenos Aires, you know, back and forth, and the international / you know, just kind of like expanding kind of thing. I think that's it's pretty interesting. And here, so
I had to say about this place because it's very particular place.
Biedma
and all the region, because we had river and sea. We had the
Atlantic Sea. It's on the Atlantic Ocean.
This is a desert, a total desert.
In Patagonia, it's like very...
Patagonia, the not the mountain place, not the mountain...
In the west. Is
uh-huh. This is the east, so we have a desert. Desert. Desert is the sweet...
Dessert.
Dessert. This is desert, so it's a strange place. It's a very strange and very unique place.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we are talking. I am back.
Going back
for maybe the initial. The initial thoughts
about
this. About this influence about
location,
the place.
Location. Exactly.
I guess it has something, but I never can make it conscient.
Mm.
But I guess all the scenes influencing you, people, ways of relations, the place, the weather, I don't know, the light. I want to believe this.
Mm.
But I don't know, it's not a science.
No, I think it definitely does. I mean, from my experience doing these interviews, for sure, you know, and just in general, you know, being a traveler myself, and also, yeah, I mean, no, for sure, location is super important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe next time we come to Argentina, or when you come to Berlin, we do another podcast.
Another what?
Another podcast, another interview, another talk, another conversation, and we can talk more about it. Because literally, like, without a doubt, this can go on for like 2-3 hours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you're thinking about. I like that, you know. To me, I've always said on this podcast, on this Voices from the Dark, this is sort of like therapy for me.
It's this is what?
Terapia.
Ah, therapy.
Terapia.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like, to me, it's like I listening to people talk about themselves, or me, kind of. Just listening,
analyzing.
No, it's not even analyzing. It's just me listening and feeling and just experiencing. Mm-hmm. You know, the you know, expression of someone.
Mm-hmm.
It just helps me.
It's okay
mentally, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that the whole I think we got a good sense of like the location question. So we should move on to the second most important question,
mm-hmm.
which is the why.
Why?
So why
I do this?
Why do you do this? Why do you do this? Why did you open this workshop? Why do you paint these? Why do you draw these pictures? Why do you paint them? Why do you want to teach? Why do you? Yeah, you know. Why do you travel across the world to go to a workshop?
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Why?
I don't know. This is, I guess, it's maybe for surviving. Surviving.
Sobrevivir.
Sí.
Yeah, surviving. Yeah.
Surviving. The first thing I think is, it's a mix of, I needed to make this without conscience again.
Yeah.
I did without thinking, without. It's go out. How do you say when Sally?
You just go out into the world. You just do it.
Let it.
You let it out. Yeah. Que sale.
Salir.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to let it out.
It let out without my conscience.
Without thinking. Yeah.
Then, when I think, it's a mix of. The intuition and thinking, and then I like it, I like the moment that I seek it, what I paint or what I draw is, it gives me something.
Mm.
I feel very well when I see that it's okay. Oh, this is good, and I feel happy. But in the meantime, it's a mix of I feel happy, then maybe something go wrong and I feel the opposite of happiness.
Yeah.
It's a mix of always a chaos, always. But I guess it's a need. It's a, I need it.
Yeah.
Oof, it's difficult to express.
No, it's very difficult. Yeah. No, say it in Spanish. I mean, I can translate, or you can just say it in Spanish, and then we can talk
about
it. But
it's basically this: it's a need. It's una necesidad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a need. And as a need, you have everything. You have the bad thing and the good thing.
Mm.
Well, this is basically is this, and then it's a mix to the of the way of living. I teach because it gives me the opportunity to live, to pay my things, to buy the things I want, and to eat, and because I am not a teacher. Because you can meet people that love teaching. I don't love teaching. I love to make this, to create or to produce my works. But teaching, I realized that I like something. I like to share. Maybe sometimes people teach me things that I can use in my work. Sometimes I met people who came to my workshop that are very very good person, good in any sense, good energy, good vibes, so good in everything. So I feel good with this.
Mm.
There are some people that is the opposite, and so I suffer the teaching. But
So you're saying that the people themselves, their attitude and their way of living and their way of being,
yes, everything,
like their personality, it makes you feel good.
Makes and then there's good others. And I see them learning. I like the process, the way they learn something that I told them, that I tell them.
Yeah. Taught them.
Taught them or techniques or anything about
que
this.
Enseñaste. Que enseñaste a ellos.
Sí.
So you feel good.
Yes,
seeing
it's a
them
strange
learn,
feeling.
Seeing them learn, yeah.
Seeing them learn so and progress.
To me, that makes you a teacher.
Uh-huh.
I think most if you're a teacher and you don't like to see people learn and when people you see them learn, it doesn't make you feel good. Then you're not a teacher. I think that makes you a teacher.
Yes, maybe.
Because if you feel good from that, then I think you are a teacher.
But maybe.
Anyway,
maybe.
That's just my comment. Mi comentario.
Está bien. yes, but I don't feel it. It's not my
objective.
My task.
Objective.
Task?
It's
no,
not
task
your goal.
My goal. My goal. Oh, yeah. Goal meta.
Yeah.
It's not my goal, but it's something that I met in the middle of my life. So I remember the first time I make a workshop. I was terribly afraid. A woman that I know, she asked me to make this. Teach. You had to make this. No. I said no. But she insisted.
She insisted.
She
yeah.
insisted in this. So I'm thankful.
Thankful. Yeah.
Thankful her. And when I start this, I never left it.
Mm.
It's my work. This is my work because I had to work in the sense of sometimes I don't want, but I had to be there. Mm. And it's always, for me, everything is a mix. It's a mix of pleasure, a mix of suffering, a mix
yeah.
of everything is like that. I don't know why.
That's great. No, I think that's great. That's I mean in some way it's inspirational because some people might think maybe they might think that you know to do something you love is to love everything about it.
Mm.
But that's not always
this is ideal. But
yeah. It's like I mean to me like this podcast is not my work. I don't make money from this.
Mm-hmm.
But I love to do it, but even that, even though I do it for my own personal, satisfaction, I do think about it like, oh, today I don't want to have this interview, or today I don't want to have to leave the house or do something, you know, that, because, you know, kind of go out of your comfort zone, you know, it's like to
get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, it's like, because to me it's not natural to do this, you know, to like have all this equipment mm-hmm. here and like having this conversation.
You have
like
to work.
Yeah, it's like work, you know, you have to like set it up and all this
maybe
stuff.
You don't want to do it this.
And then people might think, oh, you know, why is he doing this? And so mm-hmm. so there's always positive and negative things of everything we do. And so, but that's another tangent. Going back to the why, which I think you said a lot about already. Mm-hmm. If there was one thing, if, and this is kind of a crappy question, shitty, you know, una pregunta de mierda. Mm-hmm. No es una buena pregunta. If there was one thing that you would say, one reason that you do it, why do you do
all
why
this?
Why do you paint? Yeah. Or why do you do, it doesn't have to be all this, but why do you paint? Why do you paint, or why do you draw? It doesn't have to be everything. Mm-hmm. It could just be what?
I guess it's passion, the word.
Okay.
Into the passion world, you have everything that I say.
Okay.
Passion is suffering, is enjoying, is everything.
Okay.
Is.
I love that.
I guess passion is basic. It's a basic feeling that. It contains everything, because if you have passion, you have all the feelings. Mm.
Anger, enoja, anger, enojo,
yes,
anger,
everything.
fear.
Fear is everything. The world. Fear is the world.
Es el peor.
It's
the worst.
It's the word.
The word.
La palabra.
Ah, la palabra. Okay.
Yes.
The word.
I guess
yeah.
You had to fight the fear.
Mm.
Every day, every time, every hour, every minute.
Wow.
For me, this is
no,
personal.
No, I feel that.
And you can fight against fear, I guess, I don't know, with, I don't know if with passion. I guess fear is into passion. The passion contains the fear.
Yeah. I think you're, I feel that. I think most people can relate to that. I think most people will understand mm-hmm. that the passion and the fear
and need
and the need.
The needing of something. Yeah. I don't know if needing is into passion or passion is into needing. I don't know. I am thinking now on this. I am analyzing.
All right,
but
so
passion.
I think that's perfect. I think that's a great, it's amazing. I think it's a lot to think about, and so we should move on to the next question, mm-hmm. which is the, you know, the biggest question, you know, drum roll or whatever. this is a question that a lot of people have told me. It's like kind of a very personal question, even though I feel like the other questions are even more personal. It's more like, so this is like, how do you do it?
How
said who, what, when, where, why, and then finally how. So like, as an artist, most people have this idea of an artist as being, you know, the starving artist, right? Artista hambriente, would you say?
Hambriento.
Like hambriento.
Starving the
yeah, it's
hungry.
Like a, it's like a stereotipo. It's like a stereotype. Mm. Does that make
yes.
sense? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the starving artist, the artista hambriento. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's difficult to be an artist. Oh no, don't be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get any money from that. You should be a doctor. You should be a lawyer.
Yes,
right?
We have a lot of these.
Yes. No, that's mundial. That's
mundial.
The whole world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why I ask is like, how, because you are an artist, right? And you mm-hmm. are here, we're talking about your work, and most of my guests, you know, they're doing, you know, they're either doing their work plus another job, you know, like me, like I don't do my real
your
love,
real.
You know, mm-hmm. my real art. I work, you know,
in another
in some other shit. and you know, most people are telling me stories of this, you know, this balance of like, mm-hmm. you know, how do you make your art and how do you make your money?
Yeah.
And so this is the question, is like, how? And, you know.
First of all.
And you don't have to say anything you don't want to, because I know this is a sensitive question. It's like, you know, because it's financial stuff and everybody's like weird about financial stuff, you know, but. Mm. So I'll just leave it to you, and this will be our final question of the conversation. And yeah, so what do you how do you do it?
The first answer is because of my parents. This is basic thing. I guess it's basic from anyone, because my parents accept and they told me, "Come on, do this, do that, do that."
They support you.
They support me every time. Yes,
they push you.
They push me. My mother pushed me over all. But my parents both. My friends too. My sister and my brother. But my parents is a basic thing. So they always support me. And then how? How me, in a personal way, I guess is how I can. I don't know how. I don't know how. It's how I can. I guess this is the...
How in cualquier modo que...
Como puedo. Que puedes, como no sé.
Yeah. It's like in any way that you can. Like you
any
do
way
it.
I can.
If you have to go this way, you go this way. If you have to go this way, you go this way. Yeah.
And because I am not a methodic man, a methodic
worker.
I make how I can.
Mm.
When I can. When I want, or maybe I don't want, but I had to make it. And it's a how I can. I don't know. I guess this is the answer.
No, I get that. I think
sometimes
I think that makes sense. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm more stable. The stability of my feelings, and maybe this is a calm times. Calm.
Tranquilo. Time. Yeah.
Other time I was very, very troubled times, but the result is always, I do what I do when I can do it. I don't know. It's very short my answer.
No, I think that you do what you can do. You do what you can do.
I guess the most important thing is about my parents when I was younger and I was making this and studying this, and they always were behind me, backing force. I guess this is a big point, and the other is always. Because the passion too.
Mm.
How I do it because I had passion for this.
Okay, that's actually something I've heard something similar, but I think that's a very interesting way of saying it. How you do it, like the way you do it. That's actually very complicated. I can't even explain that in English.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how. So the passion, your passion for doing it is how you do it. It's what gets you through it.
Yes, because it's go out without my thinking, how do you say, razón?
Without razón in English it would be a little extreme, but I think it's without thinking. Yeah.
Without thinking. It's something I need. And I have I can control.
Mm.
I can't control it. This something that
okay.
go out. because I had passion with another thing. I love sports.
Mm.
I love to play football, soccer. I left it because injuries.
Well, I think most people listening to this are like from Europe anyway. So
yeah, football.
Football. So
I have passion for tennis. I play tennis. I'm a horrible player, but I hate my tennis, but I love the sport. And I go and I suffer and again the passion. I suffer and I enjoy in the same time. I love the sport. So I have another, it's a different to, but for me it isn't different for artists.
It's not different.
It's not different, but I know a lot of people that make arts and they have separate this, they hate sport or they don't like sport and they are all arts.
Yeah.
And people that love sport, they hate or doesn't like the arts. I have a mix.
Yeah, no, it's
again,
good.
Mix.
Yeah. I actually feel the same as you. I do hate sports myself, but I don't hate all sports. I hate, like, football, you know, baseball, American football, all these, like, you know, fucking, I don't know. I like basketball, martial arts. So, and, oh, running, you know.
Running.
So I feel that, and I know what you're talking about. Like, there's always like these people who are like, "Oh, I'm an artist, so you know I don't do anything physical."
Yeah.
You know, or I'm a what do you call it? A sports person, whatever, and I don't do anything artistic. You know, but I think that it's important to have both. So, and now of course that I have a child, you know. Leon, yeah, it's like you gotta give him everything, you know. But no, I think your answer to the how is like, I love that.
Well,
especially the passion part, because it's like, how do you do it? Well, you know, I do it because of the support of my family, which a lot of people say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in my interviews have said this, but and a lot of people also say, because I can't do anything else, I have to do this. You know, it's like
maybe
so similar.
Maybe this is an answer that I can use.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean,
I can't do another scene.
Exactly. You
know?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
No, we can all do other things, but so no, I think that's I love that answer, and I guess the only other thing that I want to ask is there any, so, cause we're ending the episode now and this episode, you know, just like most of them are, you know, when this, everything that we spoke about, this is basically live, you know, it's like en vivo, you know? If there's, what advice would you give to artists around the world, whether they're in Viedma or in Beijing or whatever? What advice, is there one advice that you would give to these artists?
For me, a very important thing is to be sincero, is the sincerity.
To be honest.
To be honest. Yeah. I guess this is the basic thing for me, to be honest. To be honest with your work, with your feeling, with yourself. Basically with yourself and with your works, the thing you do in any kind of art expression, you have to be honest. In music, in photograph, in writing, in painting, drawing, acting, dancing, you have to be sincere, honest. I guess.
Okay. That's a good piece of advice.
Because you show, when you are honest, you show everything you are. If you start to copy or to be another person that you are not, you get lost. Because I suffer this. Maybe I get lost because I am not being honest with myself, but you had to realize about this. You had to darte cuenta, realize.
Yeah, you have to realize. Yeah.
To realize and come on, go for your way, your honest way.
Yeah, your honest way. It's great.
I don't know. I guess this is, I'm practice. I always in. I always me digo a mí mismo, I told myself you have to make and practice. I fail because I don't practice as much as I want, but then again is I do
Está bien. No, estamos hablando de...
Hago como puedo.
Pero la cosa que estamos pensando ahora, que te pregunté, es el último... ¿cómo se dice? Consejo.
Sí, consejo.
And so this,
be honest.
Yeah, okay, so that's the... I think that's quite clear. So be honest, be... what was the other word? Sincere.
Sincere.
And I think that is a very, very good final, sort of final advice
to close this.
To close the episode, yeah.
I guess be honest with everything, not only with the work, but in this special scene of working with painting and drawing, you have to be sincere, you have to be honest with yourself, with yourself.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think it's great. I feel that, and I think that I think that most people will feel that as well. So we have. This has been. Actually, yeah, we did a great episode here. I think we've gone a little bit over on time, but I'm gonna still publish the entire thing.
Okay.
We went like normally I do an hour. So this is like 17 minutes over. Mm-hmm. I just want to say again that, you know, well, first of all, Happy New Year again to everybody. I know it's the 16th, right? Is it 16th?
The
16th.
16th of
the 16th of January. I know it's like I've been out of the podcasting game for 2 months, but like it's never left it's never left my mind. Voices from the Dark is going on, like I said, basically until I die. And I know that's kind of morbid. It's like...
until you get bored.
Until I get bored. Or yes, either until I get bored or I die.
All right.
And so, yeah, this 2019, I hope, you know, everybody's going to have a great 2019. I've got a lot of stuff planned for myself and for the podcast. And yeah, I think... Yeah, I don't really know what else to say, but I think that's pretty much it. Do you have any other parting words? Any final
words?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Sabiduría. ¿Cómo se dice?
Sabiduría. Sí, sabiduría.
Sabiduría.
Sabiduría. The wisdom. No, I don't know.
Well, maybe we'll have another podcast with Nako in Berlin.
I wish
if it happens.
I wish.
Yeah, and I also want to give another.
Great.
It would be amazing. Yeah.
It would be amazing. Yeah.
I love to have repeat guests. Actually, you're not a repeat guest yet, but I really hope that you will be. I've had only one repeat guest on the show. One repeat guest. Somebody who came on more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Federica Flux, amazing artist in Berlin, Italian, from Italy.
And paint or
she does audio, sort of design. Let's say. Oh, excuse me.
Oh. Oh,
my God. That was ineducado.
No educado.
I just want to say again...
This is the final word.
the final word. No, I just want to say again that we're in Viedma, Argentina, Rio Negro. We're in Patagonia, the northeast of Patagonia.
The northeast of La Patagonia.
La Patagonia. Mm-hmm. I love coming here. When I first came here, it was like, kind of... You know, small town vibe, but now I feel almost at home here.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
Yeah, I just feel like, I want to keep doing more international stuff on this podcast. And yeah, good things for 2009 for the podcast and for everybody. And I'm just like blabbering. Estoy hablando como de mierda.
Thank you, Steve.
No.
Thank you for this.
No, thank you. And thanks again to Nako and to the atmosphere here in this workshop is great because we got Marilyn Monroe. I don't know who this guy is. We got
this is Fangio, Juan Manuel Fangio, the Fangio. Formula One. Formula One.
Italiano.
No, Argentino.
Oh, huh.
The Fangio. Five-time champion, world champion Fangio in the 50s.
In the 50s.
Yes, in Europe they
who's
know.
Who's that?
This is
Rob this is Smith something?
No. This is Gustavo Cerati from Soda Stereo.
Oh.
A very, very, very good band from Argentina, okay. Rock band.
And the guy on the top?
This is the guy of the top is Julio Verne, the writer.
Oh, man.
Julio Verne. We have a lot of Freddie and
You got a lot of Freddie Mercury. Muhammad Ali. Who's that guy in the corner there?
This is me in a strange self-portrait.
That's pretty portrait. Good. We got
Mick Jagger here.
Mick Jagger, yeah.
A young man.
And who's this vampire guy?
This is a vampire man inspired in Tony Perkins. I use a Tony Perkins photo, the actor Tony Perkins.
Tony Perkins?
From
Psycho?
Tony Perkins? From Psycho.
Anthony Perkins. Ah, Tony, yeah, of
Anthony
course.
Perkins.
Tony Perkins.
Tony Perkins.
Anthony, yeah.
It's a photo from him, but I make it as a vampire. Look at this.
No, that's amazing.
I don't know. This is difficult to make.
Elvis.
This is Elvis, but it's so difficult to make him.
I mean, that's perfect.
This is Elvis. This is Annie Lennox, the singer.
Annie Lennox, yeah.
Well, I have a lot of...
Oh, you got everything.
I have everything.
All right, I guess... I think that's the end of the episode. Maybe we can do a video.
Yes.
I have my camera right here.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually show everybody all this stuff that we're talking about.
Let's do it. Vamos.
All right, cool. Sí. Vamos. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been Voices from the Dark from down south in Viedma, Patagonia. Peace out.